Southwest Airlines settles up with the FAA. AIG may get government help in selling off ILFC. And Vern Rayburn breaks a long silence. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, March 3rd, 2009. The FAA startled everyone last year when it levied a record $10.2 million fine on Southwest Airlines for maintenance shortcomings. Southwest startled some of us when it announced it would ignore the payment deadline. Well, the haggling is now over, and Southwest will pay a total of $7.5 million in three installments between now and January 2011. The FAA announced the settlement, which it says requires the carrier to reach 13 specific milestones within the next year. Those include revising manuals, procedures, and training, and imposes a 60-day time frame for increasing the number of on-site technical representatives for heavy maintenance vendors from 27 to 35 people. If the company fails to meet its benchmarks, an additional $7.5 million fine is called for. The settlement follows last year's charges that Southwest flew 46 airplanes on more than 59,000 flights without performing mandatory inspections for fuselage fatigue cracking. As troubled insurance giant AIG continues to report staggering losses met with government bailout infusions, whatever happened to the idea of selling off International Lease Finance Corporation, the profitable airliner leasing subsidiary? It was supposed to be in the works. ILFC founder and chairman Stephen Udvar-Hazy was reported by the Wall Street Journal to be putting together a group to buy back the company last September. Well, two things happened. First, nobody wants to finance a deal like that right now. And second, declining airline fortunes have made ILFC less profitable. Dow Jones reports the company is carrying $31.2 billion in lease-related debt, but is worth only about $7.5 billion. On Monday, AIG reported a record fourth-quarter loss of $61.7 billion and told the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission that its ILFC subsidiary probably will be in the red for the year. The feds quickly issued $30 billion in new bailout money, and AIG Chief Restructuring Officer Paula Reynolds told investors on a conference call the U.S. government has pledged to offer some form of backstop financing to bidders who want to buy ILFC. Could that include the guy who founded it 35 years ago? Eclipse Aviation founder and former CEO Vern Rayburn has broken the long silence which followed his expulsion from the company last July. In an exclusive interview with ANN editor-in-chief Jim Campbell, Rayburn expressed a surprising observation.
In a reasonably ironic sort of way, Eclipse actually probably has a better shot at a future life right now than it's had in the last 3 or 4 months. E-Turk's out of the picture, or if they want to be in the picture, they have to. They truly are competing finally on an equal basis. There's been at least two groups announced. One group of people wants to put the airplane back into production. They're going to change the business model, but they're going to ultimately put the aircraft back into production. Another group is more interested in getting hold of whatever it takes to support the existing fleet of nearly 260 aircraft.
You can hear all Vern Rayburn's comments in multiple parts starting today in the Aero News special feature. The crash of an experimental weight shift aircraft at Torrance, California last week critically injured the pilot and killed his passenger. According to a report from friends, 64-year-old instructor and former ANN contributor John Thornburg and 33-year-old passenger Ryan Moritzen were preparing Thornburg's trike for flight last Thursday when the aircraft's engine unexpectedly revved up, causing the craft to become airborne before its flight controls were released from a secured parked configuration. The trike reportedly climbed steeply to an altitude of about 100 feet, then spiraled into the ground. Moritzen later succumbed to his injuries at County Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Thornburg reportedly suffered a cracked pelvis and broken leg. His condition is no longer considered critical. Up next on ANN, former Helios Airways execs face a lawsuit in Greece. Early theories on the Turkish Airlines crash are in conflict. And Boeing says to Finmeccanica, the C-27J is all yours. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. Three executives of the former Helios Airways made a brief appearance in a Cyprus court last week to face charges of manslaughter and negligent death in connection with the August 2005 crash of a Boeing 737. That accident claimed all 121 souls on board. Four Helios execs in the airline itself are named in the lawsuit. The defendants have not yet entered a plea, but face maximum penalties of life in prison if convicted. Reuters reports that dozens of relatives of crash victims jammed the courtroom, dressed in black and displaying pictures of loved ones lost. As ANN reported, a Greek board of inquiry concluded that the pilots of flight ZU-522 were rendered unconscious shortly after takeoff from Cyprus due to a lack of oxygen caused by improperly setting pressurization controls. The plane then continued on autopilot for another 2 hours before crashing into mountainous terrain near Athens. The report blamed deficient technical checks made by Helios Airways before takeoff, Boeing for not addressing previously reported pressurization problems in other 737s, and the failure of the pilots to take quick action. A spokesman for the Dutch Safety Authority says a preliminary report on the crash of Turkish Airlines Flight 1951 will probably be released by tomorrow. As ANN reported, the 737 was inbound from Istanbul to Schiphol International Airport in Amsterdam when it crashed a mile short of the runway on approach, resulting in 9 fatalities and another 84 injured. The UK Guardian quotes Peter van Vollenhoven, head of the Dutch Safety Authority, as saying the plane fell almost straight down and speculates that the airliner had experienced engine failure. Survivors, however, reported engines that were apparently at full power before what sounds like a stall. An international team of 40 investigators has been working at the crash site. At a U.S. Air Force Association symposium last week, Boeing announced it's pulling out of a multi-billion-dollar international project to produce the C-27J joint cargo aircraft for the U.S. Army and Air Force with Italy's Finmeccanica. Reuters reports that despite the best efforts of both companies to agree to terms for a second production line to be built in Jacksonville, Florida, the recession has been a deal killer. Boeing spokesman William Barksdale commented, quote, "For us, it wasn't about the airplane, it wasn't about the team. It's purely about the economic climate," unquote. Finmeccanica unit Alenia North America says it plans to go ahead with the construction of the Jacksonville line and have it up and running by spring of 2010. The C-27J is a mid-range, multifunctional, interoperable aircraft for logistical resupply, medevac, troop movement, airdrop, humanitarian assistance, and homeland security missions for the U.S. Army and Air Force. Cirrus Aircraft released another 52 workers last week. The Duluth News Tribune reports most of the people laid off Thursday came from the company's main manufacturing plant in Duluth, Minnesota. The cuts bring Cirrus's workforce below 800. That's compared to about 1,300 6 months ago. The latest cuts reportedly focused on administrative, sales support, and engineering, largely sparing the company's production line. Ian Bentley, Cirrus VP and Managing Director of International Sales, told the News Tribune the plane maker has no short-term plans to further cut its workforce. He added that Cirrus's balance sheet is, quote, "significantly stronger than it was 6 months ago," unquote. Still ahead, you may have to pay a carbon fee to park at Logan International. Embry-Riddle opens 2 new locations in Iraq. And illegal file sharing. It's not just a copyright problem anymore. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 3rd. I'm Paul Plack. It's been a little over a year since Massachusetts finished a $15 billion tunnel designed in part to provide better access by car to Boston's Logan International Airport. Now, Governor Deval Patrick wants to raise parking fees at the airport to as much as $7 an hour in an effort to keep cars away and force airport patrons to use mass transit. Included in the rate would be a $2 carbon fee. The proposal is buried on page 137 of Patrick's 140-page state budget proposal, and it could still be challenged by the FAA even if it passes the state legislature. While taking public transit to the airport is tough if you have young kids or checked bags, the new fee is being embraced by environmental activists and is defended by State Transportation Secretary James Aloisi. Quote, "It should not be inexpensive to park at convenient facilities in the middle of Logan Airport. We need people to understand that there are better ways to get to Logan," unquote. One of the few big winners in the proposal might be Boston-Manchester Regional Airport. While it's located over the border in New Hampshire, 50 miles north of the center of the metro, the one-hour drive brings those in the know cheaper fares, and on-airport parking is cheap as $10 a day. Some Logan flyers already shun parking at the airport. Northborough resident Faye Kelly spoke to the Boston Globe as she arrived home from a trip to Florida last week. Quote, "We never park here. It's too expensive. We take a limousine. It's cheaper than parking here, and they pick you up right at your house," unquote. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University Worldwide plans to open two new locations in Iraq. The teaching locations will open in the next few days at Camp Victory and Balad Air Base. Camp Victory is the primary component of the Victory Base complex that occupies the area surrounding Baghdad International Airport. Balad Air Base is the central logistical hub for forces in Iraq, the busiest air base operated by the U.S. Department of Defense, and the second busiest airport in the world, following London Heathrow. Currently, no aviation programs are being offered at the Iraq Military Education Centers. Embry-Riddle holds exclusivity under the CENTCOM contract for the aviation portion of education for military bases in the Middle East. U.S. domestic airlines have reported what may have been an expected benefit of a la carte checked bag charges. In 2008, as the fees prompted many passengers to travel lighter, airlines lost 1.3 million fewer bags than in 2007. The Chicago Tribune cites figures from the U.S. Department of Transportation's Bureau of Labor Statistics in reporting that lost bags fell by one-third, with the bulk of the improvement in the fall when a la carte fees were fully implemented. The only major airline still not charging fees on the first two bags is Southwest Airlines. Industry opinions vary on whether the low-cost carrier will be able to sustain its heavily advertised policy. A pure look at the revenue numbers elicits the question, but Southwest spokeswoman Brandy King says the approach is resonating with consumers. Quote, "We have no plans to veer from our no-fees philosophy," unquote. And finally, there was a story in the general media recently about how file-sharing programs that your kids use to make copies of movies and music MP3s from their friends' hard drives over the Internet have allowed identity thieves to get everything from passwords to student loan applications to tax returns off those same computers. Now, Tuversa, an Internet security firm, says it's discovered that a peer-to-peer file-sharing program installed on an office computer by an employee at a defense contractor in Maryland has given the Iranians access to sensitive information about Marine One, the helicopter used to transport the U.S. president. Sam Hopkins, Tuversa co-founder and chief technology officer, says information accessed includes the entire avionics system of Marine One and various upgrades done by contractors, and he said the problem is widespread. Quote, "When the Iraq War got started, we knew what U.S. troops were doing because GIs who wanted to listen to music would install software on secure computers and it got compromised. This is the biggest security problem of all time. You can get 40,000 social security numbers out there at the drop of a hat. We've had people come into our data center, and we've shown them things that are out there on P2P, and they go away with their minds blown, unquote. We'll wrap up this Aerocast now, so you can take a walk around your office and have a word with whoever is downloading movies at your place. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the first installment of a multi-part exclusive interview with ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell, Eclipse Aviation founder and former CEO Vern Rayburn comments on the status of the company and on some overlooked achievements of the team which developed the Eclipse 500 Very Light Jet. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.